All participants, please stand by. Your meeting is ready to begin. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pellegrini Financial First Quarter Conference Call. Our central banks driving the markets. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Ryan Morcombe. Please go ahead, Mr. Morcombe.
Thank you, and welcome to everyone who's called in this morning for our first quarter conference call. I think I'd like to obviously start things off just by obviously reviewing the first quarter through the 2013 year. Talk a little bit, I guess, on where things are at today and going forward, and kind of discuss a bit more on where we are from a planning standpoint. First off, I think, when we go back to January, February, March of this year, and certainly the first of the year, the discussion really was all about the U.S. debt ceiling. And failure of that part was the U.S. sequester of the budgets, which, again, were big headlines through that first month. And really were issues, I guess, that had come and gone with not much substance to them. And again, that's one of those things, I guess, where the media certainly plays out those big headlines. And again, nothing substantial came from those events. As it turned out, January and February were very good markets for all of us across the board. And where that's kind of tapered off to the point where March, April were positive, but much flatter. And I would say that this probably turned out to be quite similar to how it did in 2012. When we go back to 2012, January, February again were very good months and were flattened off through March, April. And we've pretty much seen the same thing here through 2013 to date. So, from our standpoint has been quite positive. I think when we look at what's been driving that, really for the bulk of this, has still been on the back of, one, the U.S. economy and the U.S. marketplace, which really has been probably the driver of markets for the last two to 3 years. And that's been, on where the U.S. economy has continually to improved and gotten better. When you look at employment numbers across the board, have been steadily improving. Housing seems to have bottomed up and seem to has increased over time, where it's improving from that standpoint. U.S. corporations still in very good shape, and probably a big part of that too is also the standpoint that the U.S. Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, continues to drive money into the market. And then that's not the only economy doing that. You look over at Japan, they're also doing the same sort of thing where the Japanese government, again, is trying to really flood the money, the market into with tons of money, which from their standpoint, they're just looking to really create some inflation in Japan, drive their currency down to some degree to make them a little bit more competitive. But that's all gone towards making these markets quite positive. Here in Canada, things have been steadily improving from an economic standpoint and growing. Certainly from a market standpoint, we've continued probably to lag global markets. And, again, we're still in positive territory and it's been an all right economy, but we are lagging. Part of that, is probably tied to the commodity world. Certainly we've seen commodity prices fall down quite substantially in some degrees. If you look at gold, of course, in particular, has been falling off quite substantially over the last month or two. But even the base metals, you look at copper to nickel to iron ore, all of those base metals have also been under price pressures, which again, for commodity-based economies like Canada, like Australia, we've all seen that impact in the economy, and that's impacted not only our markets, but even our dollars, which again, you've seen dollars like the Australian, and certainly here in Canada, our dollar come under more pressure here, especially as of late. And you know, again, that's partly tied to that commodity exposure that we have. So, like I said, Canada, you know, has been a positive market, but certainly has lagged some of the other sectors around the world. That commodity impact, you know, a lot of that is probably driven by what's going on in Asia, China in particular. China, while they still have strong economic growth, and it's been consistently probably between 7-8% GDP, you know, the numbers there were looking a little soft, I guess, and, you know, that part, I think, sometimes the markets probably read a little bit too much into that because, again, getting numbers out of China is a bit of a crapshoot. But very clearly, they still have a very strong economy and a lot of growth in that economy. And it's not just China. You look at those Asian economies from South Korea, Thailand, Malaysia. I mean, they're all very strong economies. And by far, they're certainly not emerging economies anymore. They may not be fully developed like us here in the West, but they are certainly very very strong economies. And so when they saw a little bit of that slowdown in the growth in China, again, that impacted what was going on in the commodity world and those markets, again, which impacts us here in Canada, Australia, and so on. I think the other part of the economy we haven't really touched on is Europe, which, again, there's still a lot of issues, I guess, with Europe in regards to various nations internally. Obviously, you got some strong sectors of Europe. You know, again, Germany is again, probably the leading economy within that group. But you obviously still have those nations, you know, Spain, Italy, the Cyprus issue here more recently, where those economies, again, and the austerity measures that they've been under, clearly they got some work cut out for them and will be for a number of years. I know we've talked about this for the past few years already. And, you know, again, it's something where the economy in Europe will continue to work through that for some time yet. But again, from a currency standpoint, it's probably where you're going to see the euro probably put under more pressure on the downside. And that's really, again, a function of them just being dysfunctional in that economy over there. But from an investment standpoint, you know, there are obviously still going to be some good quality opportunities, I think, from a market standpoint where, you know, there's opportunities from an investment where these certain nations or certain companies within the Euro Union are global in nature. And, again, they can be domiciled in that kind of a economy, but when their operations are global, that can be favorable from an investment standpoint. So, you know, again, I think there's still a bit of a mixed bag in the markets, I think, when you look across the globe. But everything still seems fairly favorable in the sense that most economies have enough bright spots that they're continually improving and getting better as time goes by. When we look maybe more into the individual sectors and on what's driven the markets here over the last 3 months, I think the big thing that the markets have performed on has been sectors like healthcare, consumer staples, financials again. And I think what you find in common with each of those is that they are certainly the larger cap type of companies, but more importantly, dividend payers. And again, when from an investor standpoint, when you're looking at what's going on in the marketplace, where's the best place for people to find yield, you know, you can't get it in a GIC. And so for the marketplace, that's been a favorable thing for those companies that pay consistent dividends, that have a history of growing their dividends. And you can throw in there maybe a little bit of capital appreciation over time. That's been a very, you know, a very strong driver of the markets. And, you know, dividend paying stocks has been a focus for Canadian investors for quite a few years now. But it's certainly been where I think in the last year, maybe a bit more, become much more of a focus on a global standpoint. And we've seen that with changes within some of our mandates, some of our portfolios internally, which, you know, you might not see that directly in your statements, but it has been a focus from a manager standpoint where global dividends are coming more to the forefront. Parts of the economy that haven't done too well has been, you know, especially here in Canada, I guess, is those commodity-related markets like energy, materials. Materials is basically the companies that have the gold miners or, you know, anything exposed to those commodities directly. They haven't done extremely well. So those are the probably the sectors that have, you know, again, underperformed the markets. And again, those are the kind of companies, though, that quite often would be the smaller mid-cap size companies that typically don't have dividends. You're going to have the odd one like a Suncor that might pay dividends on a regular basis. But generally, those energy material sectors, they aren't dividend payers, and they've suffered accordingly. So, you know, when we look at that, it's again, been a market where it really is driven by where people can find yield, and right now that yield is primarily in dividend payers, and we've probably seen where, based on that, equities is probably still where most money managers are looking for returns going forward, and even to the point where they're maybe even backing off a little bit on the fixed income component side of it, which, you know, being bonds, whether they're government or high yields. There's still a concern out there in regards to where interest rates are at, and at some point where they do have to turn around and rise at some point, as obviously we can't get too much lower. So on that standpoint, I think interest rates themselves, they're probably at a point where, you know, again, we don't have much room, I think, on the downside to go much lower. On the other hand, there's probably not enough economic strength or forces to cause interest rates to rise anytime soon. And if and when they do, it's probably not going to be a substantial increase. You know, it'll be little baby steps, I think, in that regard. From a dollar standpoint, you know, again, on the Canadian side, certainly we probably need to probably expect probably continued downward pressure on the Canadian dollar, and I think probably all commodity-based dollars. And where right now, as we've seen over the last week in particular, the U.S. dollar has probably been the strength in the currencies. And again, that's based on a couple of things. One, obviously, being the U.S. Still the largest economy and the safest place in the world's view to park money. But again, their economy is continuing to strengthen bit by bit as well too, and that has gone a ways to support their dollar, and it's really risen against the dollars across the world. So in that sense, that'll probably continue to, you know, be a detriment to our snowbirds, I guess, who are looking to have a strong dollar. That's probably not going to happen over this next few months. And I think the yen is the Japanese yen will be, again, probably one of those currencies that their central bank is looking to drive that down against other currencies. And you'll probably see that play out over the next quarter as well. You know, so I think from an outlook standpoint overall, the markets still seem to be quite positive. And again, partly still driven by the central banks that are trying to, you know, again, drive money into the marketplace. But again, U.S. continues to improve and, you know, again, even here in Canada, pockets in Europe and of course Asia continues to grow, and then that's all positive for the markets as a whole. I think the only you know, I mean, the concern from an interest standpoint is where, you know, central banks have obviously a wary eye on where inflation is at, and that's probably something where, based on what numbers I've saw this morning, I know they measured the Canadian inflation here this morning, and it was less than 1%. So that, I think, probably is another standpoint of where the interest rates will not probably see any rise this year at all in North America. And again, that's from an investment standpoint of the equities, probably a positive, especially for those dividend-paying shares. And again, that's been a big focus from our portfolio management, and certainly from the managers that are managing those pools. There's been a huge focus on dividend paying stocks, and that will continue. You know, just I think a few talking points of interest that I always find a bit of interest, I guess, in myself. The one I think big story out there over the next few years will be U.S. energy, and at some point where markets, pundits, I guess, are expecting where U.S. will be energy independent, meaning that, you know, again, they're not going to be reliant on foreign supplies of oil and gas. You know, that's still a positive for Canada, because that energy independence is really North American. So U.S. will essentially have enough supply from their own production, Canada and Mexico, where, you know, again, they won't be relying on any foreign source of energy. And I look at that as being a positive from, again, a market standpoint. Any economy with a cheap and secure energy supply is good for the economy across the board. Whether you're a consumer, whether you're a manufacturer, it doesn't really matter. It's something that even the governments really can't mess around with. It's just a, you know, an energy supply that's at your doorstep and cheap, available, is good across the board. And that's one thing that I always think is a positive for us in North America, and certainly for the U.S. economy. And again, it will reflect as time goes by into the markets as well. So it'll be certainly a story to watch. You know, obviously the discussions here in Canada and Alberta in particular are dealing with certainly from Alberta's standpoint, how do we get that energy to those markets? And obviously a lot of discussion has been going on pipelines and how we transport this crude oil into the U.S. market, and how we get this natural gas to markets across the globe. And it'll be interesting to watch to see what transpires there. And certainly time will tell. So I guess in closing, it's been a very good quarter to start the year off. Certainly if it ends the way 2012 did, I think we'll all be quite happy with that. Other than that, you know, again, for those that have dialed in today and have been with us in previous sessions, you know, I think you found maybe a little bit difference on how we structured this conference call. So again, we went to a little different route in how people log in or dial in. We also added in there any opportunity for people to send in questions. We encourage you to do so. With that, like I said, any comments you have from this call, certainly feel free to call into our office or email your questions in, and we'll address them accordingly. Other than that, we'll certainly look to you know, address any issues going on in your world as we work through the year here, and sit down and go through our annual reviews with each of you. You know, anything that comes up, we'll certainly look for you to make us be aware of any issues or questions you might have. So once again, just like to thank you for joining us here today. And like I said, I'll wrap this up with the point that if you have any questions, certainly feel free to call in, and Perry and I will be certainly happy to answer your questions. So thanks for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your day.